There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
After leaving the military at the age of 23, I felt lost and confused. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, though I knew I never wanted to end up in a cubicle prison, typing away at some computer day after day. I scoured the job posts, looking for something exciting. I thought of maybe being a police officer, as I had experience in the MP while I was in the Army. Then I saw the posting for the FBI. After that, my life would change forever. After a few years working there, I had been invited to join the elite homicide unit, tasked with tracking down the worst of the worst across the entire country. This was the same unit that had helped track down the Green River Killer after decades and over 100 bodies. It was the same unit that helped bring down BTK and the original Night Stalker many years after the case seemed to have gone cold. My supervising officer had brought me into his office. There, I saw a muscular man with colorless eyes as cold and as blue as a glacier. His head was shaved, his skin slightly tanned, and he seemed to constantly grit his teeth, as if he was doing his best to restrain himself from violence at every moment. "This man will help train you on the job now that you're finished with your training," my supervisor said as he sat behind his desk. My supervisor's face reminded me of a hawk's, all angles and lines with a straight, prominent nose like a giant beak in the center. "His name's Agent Stone. Don't worry, you're in good hands." I sat in the passenger seat of the unmarked black sedan as Agent Stone drove us out of there, briefing me on the case. "We're dealing with one sick bastard here," he said as he drove through the small downtown area of the village, past a local pizza shop, a liquor store, and a pathetic gas station. With a few random houses scattered around them, that was the entirety of Scarville's downtown. "They call him the Moonlight Ripper because he only kills when the moon is shining. If it's a cloudy or rainy or a new moon, he won't come out. As far as we know, all of his murders have been in this area. In fact, all of them had been in this very town, the town of Scarville." "Maybe we're dealing with the werewolf," I said jokingly, but Agent Stone's face remained grim. He turned the car down to the side street filled with thick woods on both sides of us. "Maybe," he responded noncommittedly. "I think it may be some occult thing, but it's hard to make a profile based on the limited amount of evidence we have gathered so far. We just got a call from the state troopers that more bodies were discovered by some mushroom hunters way out in the middle of nowhere, though. So perhaps we'll have more evidence for a profile soon. And I use the term body loosely here, as you'll see. The latest crime scene is down this road about 10 miles. He always brings his victims far out in the middle of nowhere, miles from the nearest house. We think that he wants to hear his victims scream while they're tortured to death. None of them had any signs of having duct tape or gags placed over their mouths, and a couple of victims even showed signs of tearing at their vocal cords from screaming for so long, if you believe our coroner. But that's far from the worst of it. The rest of it, I guess you'll have to see for yourself. Agent Stone parked the sedan on the side of the road as the light faded and the sun spilled its rusty blood over the hills. An empty police car from the Scarville Sheriff's Department was already parked on the side of the road, its lights turned off. I pulled out my flashlight, shining it around to get a better sense of the place. Scarville was a town with seemingly endless woods and dirt roads that wound their way like snakes through the rolling hills. There was a small, curving dirt trail that led through the thick boughs of evergreens near the police car. The trail was so inconspicuous and overgrown with weeds that anyone driving past it who didn't know it was there would almost certainly miss it. The pathway curved into the dark forest and disappeared from view. It had a sinister feeling to it, and the fact that this would have been the pathway traveled by the victims before their torture and murderer added another layer of horror to this place. Agent Stone went first, his heavy body trampling through the overgrown path with a swishing of leaves and a snapping of branches. I followed close behind, keeping my head on a swivel as I constantly looked around. I had the sensation of being watched, the feeling of many glittering eyes peeking out from the forest. "Hello?" Agent Stone called out towards the crime scene. "This is the FBI. We're here for the investigation." His voice echoed back eerily into the dying light, but we heard no response. The night had fully descended onto the world like a blanket of shadows by the time we reached the end of the winding path. It opened up onto a grassy field that stretched upwards on the hill. We shone our flashlights towards the center of the field, and about 30 feet in front of us, I saw something I'll never forget. I couldn't tell how many victims there were here. At first, it looked like a mass of dismembered arms, legs, heads, and torsos. The bodies were relatively fresh, and I could tell that the victims were a variety of races. I caught glimpses of white victims, black victims, and possibly Asian victims. I also saw both genders represented in the circle of gore. "Equal opportunity killer," I muttered, and Agent Stone nodded. "Reminds me of Richard Ramirez," he said. "I bet we'll find both men and women victims in that pile. One of the Moonlight Ripper's victims was even a child in the last crime scene." I remembered the pictures I had seen from the last crime scene with revulsion. The body of a child had been crucified in an abandoned cabin next to a pond. The blood of his mother had been used to draw cult symbols on the walls all around him. As we moved closer to the pile of gore and dismembered limbs, my flashlight started to show a cohesive picture to the organization of the victims. The bouncing beams illuminated a circle formed of bent arms and legs around the outside. Inside the circle was an upside-down pentagram formed of torsos and limbs. A decapitated goat head had been placed in the center, and five more heads were placed outside of each of the points where the upside-down star intersected with the circle. "It's a Baphomet," I said as the picture suddenly came into view. "A frickin' Baphomet!" Agent Stone shook his head in disgust. I just continued to stare in wonder. It seemed like so much energy and time to go through, and for what? For a display piece in a grassy field that only a couple mushroom hunters and the police would ever see? "A Baphomet? That's not surprising," Agent Stone said. "As if we needed more evidence that the killer is a true Satanist, one of the rare ones who actually believes in Satan as a true divine entity and not a symbol. We knew that from the first crime scene. Where is that frickin' cop? He looked around quickly, as if expecting to see him slinking out of the dark woods behind us. Why is it we always seem to get the most incompetent, fat, idiot cops when we come out to the sticks? It's all that defund the police bullcrap, I answered. None of them have any training or money. People seem to think that making a police force of entirely ineffectual idiots will somehow make them safer. But no one ever said Americans were smart. He laughed, but it sounded harsh and strained. Agent Stone looked pale and, suddenly, much older. He was hunched over, and I saw his hands were trembling. We put on gloves and approached the pile of bodies. The sightless eyes of the head seemed to stare at me as we crept closer to the circle. Behind us, we heard soft footsteps. I looked back and saw two technicians from the FBI walking calmly out of the trail. They wore special coverings on their shoes as well as masks and hairnets. They didn't want to risk their saliva or hair contaminating the crime scene, if possible. At least not until it had been thoroughly scored through for clues. The one in the lead, a tall blonde girl, came forward. Behind her stood another technician, a younger, nerdy-looking guy with thick glasses. Leanne, you're here already, Agent Stone asked, raising an eyebrow. Did you guys see the damned cop anywhere when you came up here? There's a police car out there, but he wasn't in it. He wasn't there securing the crime scene either. The nerdy guy shrugged. Leanne shook her head. I haven't seen anyone besides you two, Leanne said, her voice sounding distant and muffled through the mask that she wore. The two technicians moved up to the crime scene and began gathering evidence. As I watched, I saw a slight gleam from inside the goat head at the center. Hey, what's that? I asked. Leanne looked up as the other technician kept brushing for fingerprints and taking samples. I pointed at the goat head with its wide open eyes, the peak of the blue tongue poking out through its rubbery lips. It's inside the mouth. I saw something shiny. Leanne nodded as she bent down and carefully tried to pry the jaw open. Rigor mortis had set in, and for a second, she seemed to struggle. Then it opened, and something slid out onto the grass below. It was only about the size of a deck of cards. It looked gold and black. Leanne picked it up with her gloved hand before turning to give it a grave look. It's a police badge, she said. A police badge from the Scarville Sheriff's Department, covered in blood. It was more than that. I saw a ripped-off fingernail sticking to the badge, wet and dripping. From the nearby thick brush about 20 feet off our right, we heard an eerie ear-splitting scream. It sounded electronically amplified, almost like there were hissing and distortions in that scream. It resonated all around us, as if the woman was being burned alive. All four of us froze in our tracks, staring in that direction. Agent Stone and I had our service pistols out immediately. Is that a fox? Leanne whispered from behind us. The other technician just shook his head. That's no damn fox. We got them all around my place and they don't sound like that. That's not how they sound, either, he said. It sounds like a banshee. F it, Agent Stone said, glancing over at me and motioning forward with his hand. Let's go check this out. Slowly, we made our way towards the perimeter of the field. The field itself was rectangular. From the way we had come, we could see the grass disappearing into the distance, but it was only 60 or 70 feet wide. Agent Stone pushed brush aside as he shone his flashlight. We trampled into the dark forest, though it was difficult going. Prickers grabbed at us like clawed hands, and small tree branches whapped at my face. We had tangles of ferns and bushes blocking our view, but I saw something there. It almost looked like a giant toothless mouth in the midst of all the green life. It was formed in the shape of an oval.
"Holy shit, a cave!"
Agent Stone exclaimed, and I realized at once that he was right. It had a thin, barely noticeable deer trail winding its way towards the mouth. The stone of the cave looked as brown as polished mahogany. The odor of the fresh blood and sweat traveled towards us on the light springtime breeze. Laid across the threshold, I beheld a naked corpse. It was about the height of a man. To my horror, I realized it was totally skinned. The gleaming muscle and dripping veins underneath looked garish and wet. The sounds of drops of blood hitting the sands of the cave seemed to keep time, almost like a water clock.
"Holy F,"
Agent Stone whispered. I could feel my heart racing in my chest. We kept moving forward until we stood only a few steps from the skinned, bloody corpse. That was the moment that the body moved.
God, kill me.
It whispered through its lipless mouth as its red hands clenched into fists.
"Who are you?"
Agent Stone whispered.
"I came here an hour ago. My name, Trooper Shaw."
He slowly gurgled, needing to stop constantly. Blood bubbled from his mouth as he hyperventilated.
"Got ambushed. Please, kill me."
In my heart, I knew Trooper Shaw was right. We should kill him. There was no way he would survive, and keeping him alive only prolonged the intense agony and suffering he would have to go through before death. A bullet through the brainstem would be instantaneous, however. Agent Stone liked to call it the off button, and he was certainly right. "We need to call for backup," I said when that eerie screaming started again from deep into the cave. In front of us, the caverns descended into a steep slope covered in loose rocks. A few moments later, another banshee wail ripped its way up through the tunnels, sounding even closer.
No.
Trooper Shaw said, writhing on the ground like a dying spider.
"It's coming. Getting closer."
We heard gunshots explode from the direction of the pile of mutilated corpses. Agent Stone and I looked back, then further down the tunnel.
"What the hell is going on right now?" he whispered.
"Someone's shooting and some banshees coming, and from what I could tell, we're right in the middle of it." "We need to deal with the shooter first," I said, turning to leave. "We could always come back to this cave, but Trooper Shaw is as good as dead. There's nothing we could do, unless you want to put him out of his misery." Agent Stone did meet my eyes as we walked away. Swearing and cursing, Agent Stone and I crept through the brush. We peeked out and saw an old man standing towards the top of the Baffet, his wrinkled face peering in our direction. He looked ancient, the countless lines on his face giving him a drooping appearance. He was small and hunched over. If I had seen him on the street, I would have thought him as one of the least intimidating figures I had ever seen. His face reminded me of an old bloodhound ready for the needle. But under the cold streams of moonlight, I noticed something sinister about the old man. It appeared that his eyes were glowing. They had currents of something silvery and pale swirling inside them, currents like moonlight spinning in the sky.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
In his hands, I saw a black rifle. He held it loosely, almost lazily. His silvery orbs of eyes constantly flickered over the forest. The blood of the male technician laid outside the opposite end of the circle from the old man. The technician had been shot in the face, and what was left didn't look like much more than raw hamburger meat and bone splinters. His body had been staged, his arms pointing towards the Baphomet almost looked like an arrow. Agent Stone and I only crouched there for the briefest moment, taking this all in, but it was a moment too long. Without warning, the old man tensed and swung the rifle in our direction. He must have caught a glimpse of us with his strange animal eyes. He opened fire. I knew that the soft body armor the FBI gave us for a typical work field would do nothing to stop a high-caliber rifle round. The cacophony of the gunshots and the flashes of light sent Agent Stone and I into action at once. We hit the ground. I felt countless prickers slicing into my body. After a few moments, the firing stopped. I felt something long and hairy with far too many legs crawl over my face. I gave a muffled cry of terror, instantly wiping at my forehead. A skittering black centipede clung there.
"Stay quiet,"
Agent Stone hissed, but it was too late. The gunfire started up again, and this time, the bullets were hitting much closer. We both tried to crawl away, but stayed as low as possible. All around us, branches exploded, and pieces of bark splintered as high-caliber bullets ripped them apart like cotton candy. Bullets whined past our heads, smashing into the ground and sending up clouds of dirt. I took out my radio, praying.
"This is Agent Harper and Agent Stone. We're in Scarville at the crime scene off of Asmodeus Road. We have an active shooter and need immediate backup. I repeat, shots fired, shots fired. Send immediate air support and extra units," I whispered. The gunshots had stopped again, pausing for a brief moment. Everything had gone deathly silent. Then my radio squawked.
"Roger that. Help is on the way, agents. Hold tight and maintain your position,"
a soft female voice said through the radio. Agent Stone and I winced as the noise rang out. I had lost my flashlight during the shooting, and Agent Stone had turned his off, so we couldn't see more than a few feet in front of our noses. But I heard light footsteps crunching through the brush nearby. The person on the radio couldn't do any more for us, so I put it away. A few moments later, the rifle shots started again. I repressed an urge to scream as waves of adrenaline shook my body. Agent Stone and I tried returning fire through the thick brush, separating us from the old man, but I had no idea if I was even close to hitting him. The old man would immediately return fire, the rifle bullets smashing through the surrounding woods like a juggernaut. Agent Stone and I kept crawling in a parallel direction to the shooter, trying to change our positions constantly as to keep the shooter guessing where we were. "Where's Leanne?" I hissed through gritted teeth. "Did you see her? Is she dead?" Agent Stone just shook his head.
"I can't see much," he whispered.
"I saw the body of the other guy, though. He's a goner for sure. Hopefully Leanne ran away."
"Come out and surrender right now, or I'll kill this bitch!"
the old man screamed in a harsh voice. I glanced through the nearest bush and saw him pointing the rifle at his feet. I could barely see her, but I caught a glimpse of blonde hair past the other dismembered bodies forming the Baphomet. Leanne didn't appear to be moving, though. I wondered if she was already dead.
"F that," Agent Stone whispered.
"I'm not going out there. We need to take him out before he kills the hostage. Keep moving." "Maybe we should try a pincer movement," I whispered back. "One of us on each side shooting." Behind us, we heard a gurgling scream coming from the cave. Something huge and black with a body like a praying mantis came skittering out in a blur. It held the skinned form of Trooper Shaw in its reptilian pincers. Shaw continued to writhe and kick with the last of his dying energy. Fresh rivers of blood flowed from his chest where the creature held him. Its eight jointed legs swept over the forest floor as silently as a light breeze. It had bulbous eyes that shimmered like rainbows with oil spots. Its armor was thick, yet flowed smoothly around its many twisting joints. I heard a wretched, repulsive sucking sound as it drank the blood from Trooper Shaw's seizing body. Trooper Shaw's eyes had rolled up in his head, and I heard a death gasp bubbling from his lips.
"The Vicocris and their beasts must come up from the underworld to feed," the old man screamed with insanity. "Come to us. We have left you offerings of blood and meat. Come to the feeding."
I wanted to run, but we were surrounded. If I ran back, the mantis creature would run me down. If I ran forward, then I would likely be killed by a rifle bullet. Agent Stone glanced over at me and shook his head. We stayed where we were, as still as statues, and we waited for what would happen next. The mantis creature shook its massive head, spraying Trooper Shaw's blood all over the trees and bushes. With a last sucking sound, it dropped the still corpse on the leaves. Its body looked like it had been expanded slightly and turned from a deepest black like oblivion into a more reddish-black hue. The mantis creature's head angled to the side as if it regarded the old man, as if it was asking a question. It stared across the woods with its strange rainbow eyes. I heard it sniff the air with powerful lungs. It gave a shriek, the shrieking of a banshee, the screaming of a woman being burned alive. Hearing it so close sent goosebumps dancing all over my skin. Shivers ran down my back. The mantis creature ran forward towards the old man. I sat up and peeked around a bush, trying to get a shot while he was distracted. Agent Stone had the same idea. As the enormous mantis monster lowered its head towards the dismembered limbs, we opened fire. The old man fell with a grunt. I saw a spray of blood, but I didn't know if the wound was fatal. Leanne apparently chose that time to regain consciousness. I saw a blonde head rise suddenly up, her wide, frightened eyes meeting the gaze of the creature. Its massive pickers clicked faster with the sound like bones snapping as it slung forward. It advanced on Leanne as she tried to crawl away on all fours. Its rainbow eyes gleamed with hunger. The old man was groaning and dragging himself across the grass, still alive. I glanced over at Agent Stone. "We have to do something," I cried. He nodded, raising his pistol at the creature. I followed suit, and together, we opened fire, even knowing it may draw the abomination to us. The first of the bullets hit its hard shell with a crack. Its enormous eyes turned to look in our direction, its head ratcheting in a blur. Within moments, I realized our plan had worked. The abomination forgot all about Leanne and charged directly at me and Agent Stone.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Shoot! Agent Stone cried, throwing himself to the side. I fled in the opposite direction. The mantis creature came down on us like a runaway train, massive branches splintering, the trees cracking in its wake. I felt the hard thudding of its jointed alien legs as it skittered hungrily at me. I crawled under the bushes with my heart pounding in my chest, not daring to look back. I had almost made it to the edge of a clearing when my foot got caught on a root. I went flying forwards, my head smacking hard into a tree. My vision turned white for a long moment as I laid on the forest floor, stunned. I heard the approach of heavy feet. I raised my head, seeing the black mantis creature turning gracefully in my direction. I knew at that moment that I was going to die. Inhaling deeply, I raised the pistol and fired at its face, but the pistol rounds wouldn't penetrate its thick shell. I tried hitting it in the eyes, but it was a rapidly moving target in the dark setting, and I missed every time. Most of the shots hit in the torso, where its shell seemed to be the thickest.
"Help me!" I screamed. "Someone!"
And those would have been my last words, if it weren't for Leanne. As the mantis creature got within 10 feet of me, a deafening gunshot rang out. The side of its head exploded, sending out a shower of fresh blood that mixed with some dark, oily fluid dripping down its head. It staggered forward for a few more steps before falling, skidding towards us like a horse with a broken leg. It tried to scream, to give one final banshee wail, but it came out distorted and weak. As it died, it gurgled, and its rainbow eyes continued to stare sightlessly through me. Unbeknownst to me, as Leanne could tell us later, she had been fighting with the old man. One of our bullets had caught him in the right shoulder, shattering it, leaving a gaping exit wound. Even still, he had fought ferociously, and she had been forced to kick him in the face a couple of dozen times before she could get the rifle away from him. He tried to raise it and fire at her, but she was too quick. She had taken the AR-15 from the old man and shot a round directly into the center of the creature's head. If she had been a half second slower or a slightly less accurate shot, I know without a doubt that I would be dead right now. Agent Stone and I went to the old man, looking down at him with disgust. We had caught the serial killer, at least, and the one they called the Moonlight Ripper. "Why'd you do this?" Agent Stone asked, his face grim and set. "Why do you kill these people? Just to drag them to some prehistoric monster out in the caves?" The old man shook his head. He looked pale and weak, and sweat covered his face despite the cold temperature. There are endless tunnels under the town of Scareville, cities from the lost civilization where strange things still live. As a child, I met them. I met them when they attacked us during the Battle of Scareville. I lost my parents that day, and I lost a portion of my humanity, I think. For I got some of that blood off the vampires in my mouth, and ever since, I've been different from other people, he said. I just wanted to see them again. They're my family now. I thought the offerings would bring them up, but it only brought the beast. A few minutes later, reinforcements started to arrive, but they weren't from the FBI. They all wore identical black suits and had automatic rifles slung around their shoulders. When I asked them what federal or law enforcement agency they represented, they just laughed and told me they were from the cleaners, whatever that meant. They took the injured man away in an ambulance, his eyes still glowing with that eerily white light as he stared at me. Some of the cleaners went with him, cuffing him to the table and guarding him with automatic rifles. They loaded the mantis creature's body into a large armored van. I watched them take it away to whatever Black Ops lab site they had set in the area. As Agent Stone and I left, we saw the cleaners bringing in heavy machinery to fill in the cave's entrance. But when the time comes, I doubt it will help. Because the town of Scareville has many caves and many entrances, and they won't fill them all.